Yes, but let me, so I'm just full of rants today. All right, I invited you on Instagram. We shall see a return. Yeah. Okay. Wave. Yes. I don't know how people wave and like don't touch the screen. I see that all the time. They're like, so and so waved at you, and then but like they didn't move their hand or touch the screen. I don't know how that happens. Wait, no, I can't hear you. Hang on. Maybe that. Anyway, so I can hear you. Okay, wait, why accept? Okay, I keep accepting. I keep Is it
Working. Let me
working? Yay!
angle this
Okay,
up. Ooh.
yes.
Everything is set up like so precisely that if I touch
Okay.
anything, I'm just gonna like disappear.
Okay, well, don't touch anything. So, okay, so I already told y'all on YouTube, I have two rants, but we're going to talk today about this statistic that Rodney posted last week that had everybody all up in their feels about, what was it, 90% of pet parents?
90% of pet owners do not want to be present during euthanasia. Do not want
Yeah.
being the operative words there.
Yes.
And it was not a quote from a study. As a journalist, I will say that there is not a study for everything. We do not, in my experience, only rely on peer-reviewed studies to form opinions. And this quote from my research came from a veterinarian in South Africa. So just because there's not a study to back this person's professional experience up doesn't mean that it's not a valid perspective. So I think that's the first thing I always want to say is, just because there's no study to prove something doesn't mean that the person who is saying that, especially a professional with years of experience in a field, that doesn't take away from like the value of their perspective.
Yes. And it's also so there aren't peer-reviewed studies for everything, but I also don't think that we should take peer-reviewed studies like for the highlight that we get. You know, like I think I don't remember who this was, but somebody, one of the big medical journals, one of the editors of the big medical journals is like, yeah, you probably shouldn't trust like 80% of the studies that have come out since the 80s. Like it's crazy ridiculous how much, you know, we think of. Not to get, I'm not getting political, but we think of all the lobbying that's involved in our government here in the US. It's the same thing.
Yeah,
Like,
no,
it's
it's true.
just.
All studies are funded by somebody.
Yes.
And
So.
research is expensive. So it's usually funded by somebody
Yes.
with deep pockets. And
Right.
that's just reality. So we
Yes.
can't rely 100% on studies, and they don't exist for everything in life. So if we only believed things that were studied, we would have like no belief systems, right? Like
Yeah, no,
I
it's
think
crazy.
that we can't be as literal as some
Yeah.
people were when it came to this quote. Why don't we start, if you don't mind, tell us who shared it and what the perspective you think. We can't speak for him, but he has, responded to a lot of comments on the initial post. So what would you say, Jessica, is like the intention with which that was shared?
So, Rodney Habib with Planet Paws shared this, and he is actually really good at that. I mean, he multiple times a week generally, he'll have just this like statement. And then
Yes.
if there is a study that he's pulling from, he'll go in the comments and say a
Share.
little bit more about the study. So what he is really, really good at is creating headlines. which draws engagement on social media. And in my opinion, that was the point of the post.
Yeah, I read a lot of his comments and he was like, I just shared it because it was interesting to me. Like it came from, it was like he was sharing from, oh my God, what's the, he's really great. He's, the original post was shared by Jay, oh my gosh, he's like a motivational speaker.
Oh, Jay Shetty?
Shetty, yes. And I didn't want to mess up his name, his last name, so I didn't say it. But so it was shared from there. It was like, okay, just, you know, like it was more of a touchy-feely share, obviously coming from Jay Shetty, who that's what he shares. Yeah. And then it was shared by Rodney, who has this huge following in the pet industry. And he knows that the people who follow him are pet lovers and pet parents, mostly in the U.S. and Canada, because he's Canadian, yes. Right?
Yes.
So it is a shocking number. 90% of people don't want to be in the room with their pet when they're being euthanized. And I shared it on my page from Rodney on my Facebook, personal Facebook. And I shared being like, that is shocking and disappointing. If you can't be there, please ask a pet sitter, dog walker, friend. All pets deserve to be loved by someone they know, because I'm not saying that the veterinarian doesn't love them or the vet tech that's there, it's not enough. But somebody that knows them should be in the room.
Somebody that's comforting to them.
Yeah. Somebody in their life.
This just popped in my head. So I used to follow this page on Facebook called Juno's Place, and I'm never on Facebook anymore, so I don't know what's going on there, but I just happened to have been given one of their posts on TikTok over the weekend, and I didn't correlate this, but apparently she had to let one of her dogs go, and I don't know when or how long ago, it just showed up on my FYP, and it was from the dog's perspective, and it was like what the dog says when he gets to heaven or whatever you believe in, right? And being asked what happened, and he was like, I don't know, I'm gonna cry. I'm legit gonna cry. I don't know, I was just being hugged and now I'm here. Okay, I shouldn't have said that, because now I'm crying.
No, I totally agree. Like that was the intention with which I shared it, right? Like, and having the professional pet sitter business owner background, we cared for thousands of pets and hundreds of families. So we saw a lot of these families facing this, and we had to put some pets down on their families' behalf because they were out of town. We had to help some families make the decision, even though we weren't present in the room. They came to us and asked, like, what are your, you know, you walk him every day, what do you think? Or you saw him last year or last month, what are you thinking? So like we were involved in certain clients' decisions, and we saw clients that couldn't do it. We actually had a client whose dog passed away in the middle of the night, and she was, when she woke up, like on the bed, he was gone. And she called me and was like, I can't do anything. Like, I don't know what to do. And so we found the crematorium. We had one of my staff members drive the dog, you know what I mean, to the crematorium, because the client was in full paralysis. And this was an old dog. It wasn't necessarily a shock, but it was a shock because it was not something that was expected for that night necessarily. So I've seen a lot of people embrace this in a way that sometimes you can't be there. Like, I lost my first dog, Bachi. I was in college. No, I was after college. I was in DC. My mom had her in Miami because she didn't want me to bring her, you know, because I was young and like out all the time. And my mom, when she passed away, was in Spain. She was with friends. And so neither one of us got to be there. And like, that just kind of happens sometimes, right? Like, that just is out of your control at times. But I shared this post not because of the 90%. I would have shared it if it had been 50%. I would have shared it if it had been 10%. The 90% was like shocking, yes, But I also read it as don't want to be in the room. So I was like, okay, but like, they, nobody wants to like watch this happen. If you haven't had that happen, it's those moments, even if you're prepared for it, are so hard. And like, I always have like a physical reaction during the euthanasia, and like, obviously trigger warning, but like, I feel like physically sick. Like I start like gasping for air, hyperventilating, I'm like nauseated. Obviously I'm crying. So like, I have a visceral reaction. So like, do I want to be there? Is that something I look forward to experiencing? No. So that's kind of how I took it. But there's also like an importance in recognizing that it is like a very crucial part of being a pet parent, mm-hmm. and that everybody's experience is going to be different. Like we have cultural fogs around pet parenting. We have cultural fogs around euthanasia, religious, you know, kind of limitations for in many cultures where like euthanasia is not an option. It's for anybody, not just humans, you know? So it's like, we have all these fogs around it. So that's why I shared it, to start the conversation and to remind people, if you have a pet sitter, dog walker, dog trainer, dog groomer that you have a relationship with, reach out, like clean let them support you, right? Because that's, I know from my experience and from the colleagues that I have, like you, that you would be happy to be like, what can I do to support you through this? And people don't have to do it alone. And that was why I shared it. Shit hit the fan.
Yeah, it's a big conversation. It's a big conversation.
I turned off comments.
Yeah.
Because people were like, being like, in my experience, this is crazy. I'm like, okay, well, that's great. That's wonderful that in your experience, that is not the case. Bravo.
Yeah.
As a Latina who was born in Ecuador, my perspective is a little different than somebody who's maybe lived in a really like high socioeconomic level in the United States that has, you know, everybody takes amazing care of their pets and every, you know, Lisa Vanderpump, you know, rescued them. Like, you know what I mean? Like, everybody's experience is going to be different. So if yours is, you were a vet tech and everybody was, you know, always there and happy to be there, amazing. That is the way I would like it to be if I were queen of the world. But when I realized that it was somebody outside the US, in South Africa specifically, from what I have read, so don't quote me on that, but that's where I kind of tracked it back to, then it started to make sense. Like, yeah, there might be a cultural fog about euthanasia, about what a pet is, about what emotions you're allowed to share in this specific context. Like, there's so many cultural fogs that, you know, you personally may not be aware of, but that doesn't mean they don't exist.
Yeah.
So I started off commenting because it just got nasty.
Yeah. And I think that's both like the best and worst part of the internet, because it can, if we let it, it can open us up to having these conversations to learn about other cultures and how things happen in other parts of the world, and allow us to, one, just become more well-rounded individuals, but like be better equipped to have conversations with other people who aren't the same as we are. But at the same time, there are people who just cannot for the life of them see anyone else's perspective, or that anything else is going on in the world outside of in their little bubble.
And you know what? I don't blame them for that, because on averages, right? Like if we just look at averages, the pets in the US live better lives than in a lot of other countries. So like, I get that you don't want to know how pet parenting really is, or pet ownership really is in South Africa or Ecuador, where I'm from, or, you know, any other developing countries with way more, you know, pressing and, you know, dangerous things happening. Like Ecuador right now is a very dangerous place. So maybe the citizens of Ecuador aren't prioritizing pet euthanasia today, right? That doesn't mean that they won't be forever and they won't always be, but like right now in Ecuador, you can't even leave your house and where my family's from, for fear that you might, you know, get kidnapped and like people ask for a ransom. So yeah, pet parenting is gonna look a little different there. Like people aren't walking their dogs and like taking them to like the brewery down the street to like mingle with their buddies or the dog park. Like life is different in other places and that's okay. But it's important to recognize that life is different. For pets, like there's not a lot we can do. So I get like you don't want to dwell on what the life of a pet is in Ecuador. But like when you see a statistic like this, be like, where is this coming from? If it doesn't line up for me and my experience, whose experience is it?
Yeah. And that doesn't mean that like we can't feel our feelings and don't have empathy for these pets. Like I'm going to, I don't care what the other person's like background is, experiences, I'm still going to have my feelings around what, you know, what that animal is going through. And it doesn't like, it doesn't mean you shouldn't feel a certain way. You're allowed to feel whatever way you want to feel or whatever way you do feel, but like opening your mind up to taking in information that's going to allow you to better understand where this is coming from is so important. So important. But it definitely did what it was supposed to do, and people commented.
And people so when I turned my comments off because people were getting riled up, they were talking bad about Rodney. I don't know Rodney personally, but I followed him forever, and they were like, he's like, they were using some like inflammatory language, and it, I am a very positive person. Like if you come on my personal Facebook to like talk bad about somebody I respect, I'm gonna shut you down. I'm gonna be like, no, we're not doing that here. And I've actually had personal friendships be affected by that in the past, okay? Because you are not gonna come on my personal Facebook page and talk bad about somebody I respect. Not gonna happen. And I never unfollow or unfriend people, but they will me because I've shut it down. And so I was like, no, just because, you know, he shares stuff that's of value to me. So like, I have nothing but respect for him. I think he's improved pet parenting all over the world. I think he's improved the life of pets, which is obviously what fills my heart, all over the world. So like, we're not going to talk bad about the source, and we're not going to share that you don't agree with him. Like, you don't have to agree with him, but you know, that this is what he shared and this is what we're discussing. So I think a lot of it, the people who got all up in arms were just like anti-Rodney. Not because of this post, but just because they don't agree with other things that he and Dr. Becker talk about, which, you know, they're not everybody's cup of tea, and that's cool. But then, so I shut down comments because he had like 1,200 comments, and I had like over 100, and I had like 6,000 words to write last week. So I was like, I tried my hardest to keep up with it, and then I just had to turn off comments, and then I had DMs coming in to be like, you shouldn't be sharing this. You know, it's not fact. It's not real. It's not a good look. And I'm like, I never shared it. It was like that kind of like insulting, like, but you're a journalist, you should know better. And I'm like, I never pretended to be a science reporter. That is never something I've ever claimed, one. And two, as a journalist, I literally spend my whole time asking people their perspective and quoting people on their perspective. So to me, I actually really value the contact. I really value that individual experience that I'm being shared. That's literally my job. So if you go to any newspaper or magazine, you're probably not going to see a lot of studies. You're going to see quoted doctors and quoted policymakers and quoted veterinarians sharing their perspective. So I was like, whoa, let's not get nasty. And then it was, you know, you're being nasty and you're being short with me. And I'm like, I turned off commenting because I was done. And then you came to DM me in a way that felt combative. So like, forgive me if I'm not like jumping on board this constructive criticism you're sharing with me. And it turned into all this. And I'm like, you know, I personally feel, and this is everybody's opinion, but if somebody turns off commenting, I take that to be like, they're done. Like, this is, this conversation from their perspective is done. And if I were having an argument with you in person and I said, I'm done, you know, we would end it there. And like, that's how I take it, right? Like that, you know, chasing somebody into their DMs, like I feel like was a little combative.
It is. And it's very intentionally overstepping your boundaries.
she didn't see it that way, and I never heard back from her after I explained that it was a boundary. But hopefully, I think that that's one thing we can all learn, is that when somebody is done with a conversation, and they, or they ask for a break, or, you know what I mean? Like, it's okay. It, that's it. Like, just because you want to get to death doesn't mean you get to.
No, absolutely not. Like, you can think, feel, say whatever you want. That does not mean I have to partake and I have to participate.
Right.
My participation in what you have going on is not required.
It's true. And that's one of the only benefits of being an adult, I say always.
Yes. Yes.
That is the only thing that I can really say is so great about being an adult. And not all adults take advantage of this. But to be like, I'm not going to that. I don't want to hang out with them. I don't want to continue this conversation. Like, as an adult, I embrace that freedom and that kind of like gift that I have. I know kids wish they could do it, and their parents are like, we're having this conversation.
Yeah.
But as an adult, like, that's it, we're done. And I, you know, again, when the people were talking about how the statistic is wrong and that doesn't make any sense and it's not based on a study and who did they ask, I was like, the whole point of this is to discuss. Mm-hmm. Like, what wouldn't I give to have a veterinarian that I can ask in Ecuador what their perspective is on that percentage, right? Like, is this something you see also? Or like, in Brazil, or in Germany, or in Sweden, or in Asia? Like, I mean, I would love to have, like, you know, a vet in every country that I could be like, hey, what's your perspective? And like, within the same country, an urban versus a rural vet, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I would love to have a Rolodex, I'm aging myself, of people to like, call and be like, tell me everything. But I don't. So like, the internet's pretty much the way we would do that, right? Like,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And like you're saying, people's, that, especially professionals' perspectives, I don't know how we could say they're wrong. Like, that's what they're seeing.
Correct.
Forgive me. But yeah. But back to the idea that people don't want to be in the room, I could not imagine personally. Like, that was all I can ever think of, is like, just my, that's why people are so combative and emotional about it, because all you can think about is their own experience. And I just cannot imagine. I think I told you, my first dog, when she passed away, it was at the emergency vet in the middle of the night, and I wasn't there. And it's still like, there was nothing I could have done about it, but I still can't get over it. I can't get over it.
It's so hard. It's so hard because it's similar to like childbirth. It's the end of life. It's the beginning of life. We can't plan either one. You know, like, a baby's going to be born when the baby's going to be born. The time's going to run out when the time's going to run out. And it's not always our decision to make. Like, I always feel so lucky when I can plan out my pet's last day. And I recognize that the trauma of not being there, not having been able to plan, things happening so fast that like, it moved way out of control. And now you're like stuck with this like finality of what really happened. I always say, like, we can only do our best, and our best is wanting to be there. Like, the fact that people don't want to be there makes it clear to me that we're, and I'm talking Western culture, because obviously it's way more in, you know, in complicated, where in any religion, in Eastern religions like Buddhism, it's completely against euthanasia. So I'm only speaking about cultures where euthanasia for pets only is considered okay. Like, I'm Catholic, and in the Catholic Church, there is no teaching that says that we can't euthanize our pets. Of course, we cannot euthanize our loved ones. It is a capital sin. We do not do that. But for those people who, it is okay, it's legal, it's under the right circumstances, your religion allows it, your value system allows it, I feel like even then, it still has such a negative connotation for a lot of people because they feel like it's the wrong choice, like this is not good. And I'm a very spiritual person when it comes to the last days. And I've always said that when it comes to euthanasia, if you have that choice, that too early is better than too late for most people and for the pet, right? Because of suffering, that's such an important part of what you're trying to avoid. So when I hear that people don't want to be there or people dread being there, I totally understand it. Like, same, right? Like, nobody enjoys that.
No.
But also, like, I worry that people aren't seeing the positives of it. Like, to be able to take your pet's pain away, to let them rest, to take them out of a body that no longer serves them, to do something so gentle, because it is a gentle procedure, to send them off surrounded by love, it's such a gift that I feel like we need to do more work to embrace, to have people embrace it, right? To see the positives of it, to not live in the guilt of it. And it's hard because I've done a million episodes with people who talk about like the positive experience that it is for the pet who's suffering, right? But when you're in that moment, you're like, there's nothing positive here.
No. Well, it can be, like you said, if you put in the work ahead of time to get yourself in the right headspace to understand it, there can be. It's nothing is going to take away the.
You're good.
Away the grief that you feel, and there's nothing wrong with the grief that you feel.
No, on the contrary.
But being able to see that you're giving them a gift, I think that's where you're going to find the most like beauty in the situation, if there is any.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It's the one thing, like I've said in the past, it's the one thing that connects us all as pet parents, like the pet parents that we are, the pet parents that, you know, follow us, the ones that want to do better by their pets, the ones that are trying their best to like, let them live a beautiful, happy, fulfilled, long life. The one thing that's going to connect us, no matter what we feed, no matter where we live, no matter how often we walk them, no matter who walks our dog when we're not there, no matter what, the one thing that's going to connect us is the fact that most of us will outlive our pets repeatedly, and that we're going to have to experience this. And in my home, there will always be a pet, which means that there will always be a possibility of that decision having to be made. My 12 and a half year old dog is over here, and you know, every day I look at her and I'm like, you know, you're looking good. But if she gets an upset stomach, I'm like, ah, is it cancer? You know what I mean? Because of her age and all that. So it's something that is reality. Just like, you know, just birth and death, two realities that unite all of us, right?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes. I feel that so hard too. I mean, Kim is only 10, but I'm telling you, everything that happens, like she's been doing two things that just started this year. And I'm like, what is going on with you? She's like slipping and sliding on the floors because we don't have any carpets, right? But she doesn't have any, like, I don't feel like she has any muscle wasting. She doesn't appear to have any like joint issues. I think it's cognitive. I really, really do. I think it's cognitive. Yeah. And like behavioral, like something happened one time and now she's like blown it out of proportion in her head. You know what I mean? Like that's kind of how I feel about it. And like, then she's.
Do you think she slipped on the floor and now she's like terrified of the floor? Because I have.
Yes, I think so.
She hates anything that's shiny.
Yeah. And our floor isn't even shiny. And it's been the same floor for the past 2.5 years. It just started this year. So it's not like, oh, the new floor is bothering her. Like she was fine on it for a while.
Nice. Is her eye health 100%?
That's the other thing I've been thinking.
Not like, that I'm going to get her. Like a test, like this right. Slider, fine.
Right. That's the other thing I've been thinking is just wondering, and it doesn't, I don't notice any other changes.
Right.
But that was the other thing that I was just thinking this weekend, like maybe could it be her eyesight? And then she's been doing this, like, I don't know if she's getting like a kink in her neck where, and this is the third, it just started again today, the third time this year, she won't turn her neck to the right. But she's not sensitive. Like, I can touch it. I can massage it. I can palpate. Like, I can do all the things. And she's not reacting at all. So I'm like, why are you not moving your neck to the right? I do not understand it.
Right.
And of course, I tell my vet, and they're like, huh, that's weird.
See, it's funny because I have had so many old dogs recently. So, like, when my husband and I got married in 2015, my dogs were...
Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. Dr. Lori Kosher just joined us. Hello, Dr. Kosher. How are you?
Hi!
So happy you're here. I don't know if you saw the post that Rodney did last week about 90% of pet parents or pet owners don't want to be with their dogs in the euthanasia room, but I know you're a veterinarian, so if you have something to comment on that, please do.
Please do. We want to hear from every veterinarian across the world.
Yes! So yeah, we were talking about
senior dogs this whole time. Like, my dogs were 17 seven when my husband and I got married. He had two old dogs. Hi. And honestly, like, I'm just like used to having old dogs now. So like, I had four, I'm down to one, right? Cause life. And every time Kira does something, I'm like,
right?
Don't, not yet, Kira. Because I told Tyler he needed to live to 15, and he did. We let him go at 15 and a half. And I'm hoping to get 15 out of her, too.
There you go. Tell her.
Yeah, I know. Manifesting.
Over 90% of her. Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
But do you have to ever convince them? Has there been moments where they're like, I don't know what to do, I'm scared, or I don't want to be in there, especially maybe a male pet owner who doesn't want to lose control from the experience, not to, you know, but that's another cultural fog that could happen.
Yeah. I mean, I know I have talked to some of my veterinarians in the past, and they have said that most people stay, but that they have had to explain to people that when you leave the room, if I have to take your pet in the back, they are looking for you.
Yeah.
Like, they have had to tell people that, and then they're like, oh, okay, yes, I'm going to stay. I'm going to be here.
Yes.
And it kind of makes them realize, like, oh, like, this is important.
We don't know any better, right? Sometimes we think, is it better for me not to be there? Like, is it,
yeah,
is my loss of control or my inability to hold back what's coming worse for my pet? Because I know a lot of people think that. So it's, a lot of it is education, like, where the vet says, no, it doesn't matter. You can cry. You can, like, what I do, cough. I cough constantly. It's so weird. It's just like a visceral thing. It's happened 3 times with my old dogs, my dogs, because I helped some dogs and cats transition that weren't mine. And I still cried. You know, they were my clients' pets. And it's still so sad, but, like, obviously the visceral reaction was just with mine. But I've never even thought about it. I'm like, I'm going to be there. I don't care if my crying upsets them, because usually it happens after they're sedated anyway. But I will be there. Like, that's just what's going to happen, because I know that my pets don't care about that. Like, my, you know.
Yeah.
They asked to stay. The guy's not that different. That's good. I don't know where you're located. That's really good news.
I love that. So she's in, like, upstate New York, I believe. I believe. But yes, no, when I have had to do it, and I have had to do it, like, 6 times now in my life, maybe. Six or seven. And I'd have to go back and think, and I don't want to. I am a blubbering, like, I don't know how I have this much liquid in my body mess. It is so, so difficult. And yet I've never even considered
not
not
being
being with them through it. Because it's not about me. It's not
Yeah.
about me at all.
Well, I'll tell you from the Latin perspective, I'm Latina. I was born in Ecuador. My family's from Spain, and I was raised in Miami, surrounded by Latinos and machismo and all that. We're a great culture, so that is not to say anything bad about. There's nothing I'm more proud of than being Latina. But for example, my mom was raised to be pretty stoic. So when it was time for her to say goodbye to her dog, thankfully I was in Miami for that, and I was with her. My sister was visiting, and my sister was like, you go, to me, because she was like, I can't handle it. So I went, and my mom had never done this before. In the Latin culture, a lot of times the dog just dies. They're outdoor dogs, or they get hit by a car. So you don't make that decision. Like, you know, in the Latin culture, you know, a lot of us have had like outdoor cats. So like, you just never saw the cat again. Like, you know, when I grew up next to two crazy cat ladies who literally, like, there were the feral cat communities, one on each side of my house. And that's how I grew up loving cats. But yeah, I was so impressed with my mom because she held it together, but she comes from a culture where that was just, you know, that's just how she was raised. And when it was done and we walked out, she said, that's the hardest thing I've ever had to do. And I was like, well, you could have fooled me, because like,
oh,
you look completely. She's like, that is the hardest thing I've ever had to do. Cause that was her dog like 15 years. And that was just them too. Cause she was an empty nester at the time. So like, I think a lot of it is not having the support system, right? Like, she wasn't, I don't know if she would have done it by herself. I don't know if she would have gone. It just so happened I was there, thank goodness.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
So Dr. Kosher says, those that don't stay usually have some trauma in their lives or something they haven't processed, yes. Or they stay at least until pre-meds have anesthetized the pet. Yeah, yeah. Let me tell you, I had a Chihuahua, and that might have been the hardest decision I've made, because she was completely there mentally, but her body couldn't do it anymore.
Right.
And so I struggled and struggled and struggled with it, because I'm like, she's there. She's connecting with me still, but she had a collapsed trachea, and she for like 48 hours straight hadn't slept because she couldn't stop coughing. And I'm like, we can't let her live like this. And this was before I knew about, you know, I like, of course, maybe 3 months later, I saw somebody talking about getting like an oxygen tent, doing all these things. But this was things I didn't know at the time. And, she was too old for the surgery and all the things. And the vet came to my house and gave her the like sedation part of, you know, the first part. And let me tell you, this Chihuahua did not stop barking, would not, like, they left the room so that we could have time with her while the sedation meds were good. They walked back in. She just right back at it. Like, it was weaker because, you know, the sedatives. But she was just like, no, these people are in my house and they are not supposed to be here. And I was just like, oh, my great. And it was just that more of like, she's there. This is her. Her personality is still all there. But like, I can't let her live this way.
Same. So that was Titan's experience for sure. And I actually have Madison Moreno on Facebook saying goodbye and being there is the hardest thing. Kills me every time, but I have to be there to hold them. And like, that is the gold standard, really, truly. Being there, holding them is the gold standard. And doing home euthanasias, I'm glad you both mentioned it over here on Instagram, because I've only had one at home euthanasia. I have a fantastic veterinarian who will always try her best to do an at-home euthanasia, but she has a single vet practice and sometimes it's not doable. But she did it for my first dog, Socks, the first personal dog I had to euthanize. And she came to our house June of 2020 during the pandemic. So because she was doing a lot more home stuff, and not bringing pets in. So she was like trying to see all the pets in one home together, right? So she came to euthanize Socks, and it was the most beautiful. And I had just had a baby. I was 3 months postpartum. My toddler was 2.5. And so Chris and I could both be there, but he could like man the kids and like, you know what I mean? And she was in her home, and we actually said goodbye in the backyard. And she just like laid rested right on the bed that we put out there under the tree. She would always like nap under, and it was just so beautiful. So if you have the opportunity to do that, I do think it adds an element of peace for everybody involved. And then of course your home, right? So like you're in your sanctuary, they're in their sanctuary. So there's less stress of the transport, and just like that drive to the vet is.
Yeah.
Gut-wrenching.
And scary for some pets, and they don't like to be in the vet's office to begin with. But then also, and the reason why I started doing it in home wasn't for my comfort, though I have had experiences like that. It's for my other pets. So they realize it's not like, oh, I took somebody away and they're never coming back. They never ever come back. It's they see what's going on, and they can inspect that, yeah. You know, their friend is no longer living, and they can be part of the send off, or you know, whatever is happening.
So Titan was still here when Socks when we said goodbye, and he was the only one here at the time. The other dogs, my husband had just deployed, so the other dogs were in upstate New York actually with my in-laws. And so we thought Titan would not last long after Socks. They had grown up together. They were best friends. We thought he was obsessed with her. He did not have any of the like grieving symptoms. He was so at peace with it. He had like seen her decline. He saw her pass. He was right there like sniffing around while the procedure happened. And I do attribute a lot of it to him knowing, because he was a bit of an anxious dog. So I think he would have been like, so what happened? But he was definitely so at peace with that transition, more so than he was when we had to say goodbye to Radar, who he really liked, at the vet. And that was only, again, because it was kind of an urgent situation and the vet couldn't get out to come to us. And I wanted that vet. So Madison's asking, can at home be done for kitties who are afraid of other people? Absolutely. I think that they'd probably do some kind of medication prior to calm them. Mm-hmm. You would probably know better.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk to your vet about it for sure. I mean, most veterinarians that I've dealt with are willing to do whatever it takes to make right. the pet as comfortable as possible. Yeah. As long as they can, you know, a veterinarian who's just a single vet in a practice, it's hard for them to get out and do things like that. But there are services out there that this is what they do.
Yeah. And also, euthanasia. A lot of fear-free veterinarians will even have a protocol mm-hmm. for your vet to come in for your pet to come in for regular visits. Like I'm fear-free certified and I took the vet tech course before they had the pet sitter course, and they talked a lot about giving gabapentin to like cats before coming in. So I don't see why they wouldn't be able to do that before the at-home euthanasia happened, so that once the vet arrives, the cat's already kind of like suits.
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, this is such an emotional topic.
But it's such a blessing, you know. Mm-hmm. It is really such a blessing, and like I don't like to think about the experience I've had, obviously, because that'll bring tears to anybody's eyes, even the strongest person with the most experience. I don't like to think about it, but I always think, like, what a blessing. What a blessing that your Chihuahua didn't have to continue living with pain and, like, not immobility. Like, Titan was getting to the point where he was not living with dignity because he was soiling himself. He couldn't get up. He was slipping and sliding all over our floors, no matter how many rugs I put down. And I was afraid that the next day could be a broken hip, and that's a lot more painful, right? So but at some point I have to make a decision to take his pain away. And I heard this quote, and I don't know who said it. It was a pet sitter in one of my pet sitting groups, and I attribute credit if somebody wants to claim it, but it was, you take away their pain and you make it your own. Because of course it's a different type of pain. You take away their physical pain and make it your emotional pain. But it is such a gift that we can do that for them, like taking that suffering off the table. And yes, we're going to be suffering, but
you're going to make me cry again.
Right thing to do. When it's the right thing to do, it's the right thing to do. And I'm so happy to hear that most Americans that commented have not seen 90% of pet parents want to leave. I do think it's completely cultural. I do think it's completely, there's it very nuanced, you know. I have to ask my dad, to be honest with you. My dad's in Ecuador and he's a huge animal lover, and I have to ask him, is that customary? You know, like, do you take your pets? Does your vet come to the house? Like, I don't know. And he's had plenty. So, it's things that we don't know and we don't ask, maybe. And especially in my culture, I feel like it would be a good conversation to have with my dad just to normalize this. Because it is, again, it's something we will all experience.
Oh my gosh. Won't we all? And it is, it's never easy. Even if they go on their own, it's just never, never easy.
You know, that's interesting that you should mention that, because recently one of my husband's friends, who's, I believe, younger than my husband, and here in El Paso, I don't know what his background is, like, you know, but he was like, I don't want to euthanize my dog. I want him to die naturally. And he had cancer and it was like really bad. And he was asking my husband for tips on like pain management and like how to keep him comfortable. And so my husband was like, my husband's very also spiritual, very much a dog lover, and like a very warm and fuzzy type. So he was like, do you mind if I ask you, like, why aren't you considering euthanasia? And he said, I just want him to go on his own. And Chris was like, why? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what makes that better, right? So like, it was like this really good conversation they had. And the next day he actually took him in, and the vet was hoping he would do that, right? Like, the vet was like, you know, this is only going to get worse. Like, that there's no fixing this. And it was a very aggressive form of cancer. It was a very young dog. So it was super, super tragic. And thankfully he went to the right person, my husband, who made it okay.
Because
it's okay to either one. Like, you can let him, like, no judgment if that's what you choose. But like, that's not your only option. So just know that it's okay if you choose something else.
And I mean, I can see that. Like, especially, I don't know if I want to say it this way, especially those of us, like, maybe in the more natural holistic space, like, we do want, like, we can get so, like, fine-tuned into everything natural, and like, can we get to that point where we even want all death to be natural? And is it wrong if we don't? Like that's a whole big conversation in and of itself.
For another time, but I will tell you this, I have a grandmother in assisted living, and I talk about it every time my mom comes to visit. We talk about how we understand mercy killing, like, you know, like where they're legal, you know, for humans. We totally understand it. Would we do it? We don't know. You don't know until you're faced with that. But yes, like, you get to the point where you understand that, because you're like, okay, yes, of course, when the body's ready to go, it's time to go. I'm Catholic, so we don't play God, right? We don't play God.
Yeah.
Everybody goes or is born and goes when it's their time, right? That's my belief system religiously. But also, I have had personal experiences with humans that I would have loved to have the option to euthanize them. And my grandfather comes to mind when he passed away. He lasted a lot longer than anybody thought he'd last, and it was really traumatic for everybody, and he was uncomfortable. So let's see, as Dr. Becker says, not addressing pain in whatever way is needed is not natural or holistic. I love that.
I do too. And because we can get into this like really long philosophical conversation, where I actually don't want to get into a philosophical conversation about it, but because I think philosophers in general just drive themselves literally mad, because the answer isn't out there for us to find. It isn't. We have to do the best we can and trust our own gut feeling and intuition. And I so appreciate, Dr. Kozier, that you said that, because for me, that absolutely, you know, and I think whatever we can do to give ourselves the best, our pets, the best quality of life possible, that's the best we can do for them.
Yes. And I will always be a believer that there's no perfect time. If you're waiting for the perfect time, I hate to say it, it's not going to happen. I mean, very few people will say that it was, you know, perfect timing. You'll know when it's a proper time, adequate time. And your veterinarian is always going to be that last, you know, like that check and balance, right? Like they're the checks and balances. Cause if it's not the right time, they won't do it, right? Like they'll advise you not to do it, or they will ask you if you're ready. But if you go and you say, I'm ready to say goodbye, and they agree with you, that's what's going to happen. So like, trust your veterinarian and your relationship with them as well. You know, when I took Radar in to say goodbye, my veterinarian, who loved him and they had a great relationship, she didn't even examine him. Like, we had spoken on the phone, I had told her the symptoms, she knew his history. And so there was no examination, just like with Titan, right? With Sox, she got sick. So yes, we needed to make a determination of what was going on, what were the options, you know. But at some point, your veterinarian's going to say, I'm so sorry for your loss. You know, what can I do to support you during this process? With my last euthanasia, my son came with me. He was 5, and the veterinarian, Noah, was like, I want to go. I want to be there. And I looked to my veterinarian, and I was like, you're the expert here. What do you think? And she was like, I think it's great. So he came with me, and it actually eased my reaction, because I explained it to him in ways that reminded me of why we were doing it. Right. Like, I was like, this is the time to say goodbye. He's not in pain. He's going to run free, blah, 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 you know? And I was saying these things out loud for his benefit, but obviously my heart was hearing them too.
Yeah, for sure. Madison said that she was watching one of Dr. Becker's videos about end of life, and it helped her because beforehand she wrote down her intentions about what she wanted to do, how long she was willing to go once the pet was sick, and it helped her think straight.
That's a really good idea. And there's also an actual like questionnaire now that you can. I can't remember the actual name of it, like end of life pet question. And it will, you know, how many good days versus bad.
Yes.
You know, are they mobile? Are they eliminating normally? Are they completely incontinent? Are they covered in their own feces? Like all those, it asks you very specific questions, very objective, no judgment questions. And then at the end, you kind of determine where the quality of life, it's the quality of life scale, I think it's called. And I think that's those kinds of things are such good resources when you can't think straight, you can't think for yourself. And that's really, it's something we should all think about long before we're in that position, for sure.
Well, I don't know where that 53 minutes went, because we were so involved in that conversation.
Yes. Well, I just want to reiterate to anybody who joined later that if ever you feel that you cannot make a euthanasia decision or you cannot face the actual procedure alone, go to your pet's friends and family, ask for help, ask for somebody to come with you, ask for somebody to drive you. You don't have to do it alone. Talk to your veterinarian, talk to your veterinary team. My veterinarian has always been so wonderful. That's one of the reasons she's my veterinarian, is because she's, in those moments, she has been such a comfort and such a joy in such a hard time. You don't have to do it alone. Your professional pet sitter, your dog walker, your dog trainer, go to them and ask questions. You know, you follow Jessica, you've always followed her, you take her online course, you know, whatever it is, reach out to people that you trust, that know your pet or who you respect in the pet world, and ask them for help. You don't have to do it alone. And that's really the most important thing that I wanted to get out of that 90%. you know, it's not a just you situation. It's like, you have resources, use them, be creative, and ask for help when you need it.
Yeah.
Before, during, and after, whenever you
yes. need it. Yes. And if anything else, we should reiterate about this whole situation of this post that Rodney put up is to have compassion for others and try to think outside of your bubble. And I didn't get to my rants, but that's totally okay because...
We didn't get to your rants?
I know.
Will they hold for next week?
They'll hold. They will hold.
Fine.
Well, okay. Well, my first rant. if Dr. Kosher is still here, I would actually love for you to chime in on this because anybody that ever asks me about a vaccine protocol, I go and give them Dr. Kosher's vaccine protocol for puppies and kittens, dogs and cats. Because just to be clear, I am not anti-vax. I am pro responsible vaccination. And to kind of piggyback off of last week's topic, when we were talking about this mysterious canine respiratory illness, I think we're finding more and it's coming out more and more that we do think this is a bacterial infection that's being spread around. And still, more often than not, especially some of the more traditional, veterinarians that don't practice holistically or integratively, and then other people, just influencers and things that may not be in the holistic or integrative realm are all in news channels, blah, 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 all the places, get your pet vaccinated, make sure your pet's up to date on vaccines. And it's like, and I've even heard some people talking about they're working on a vaccine for this respiratory illness. And I don't think that's where our head should be at all.
Well, I mean, the vaccine will only work against this if it's the pathogen that it's meant for, right? So, like, let's be clear. Like,
right.
If that were the way it worked, oh, good, we have wormsandgermsblog.com. If all vaccines worked for every pathogen, why would we have needed a COVID vaccine, right? Like, we would have just used the flu vaccine for COVID, but that's not how it works. We all know that. I've seen that a lot, too. I think... like we said last week, the focus right now needs to be on lifestyle changes, not on like what, like,
vaccines. Yes.
Yeah, like your rabies vaccines, whether or not you want to get it, is not going to help with this specific.
Yeah, I just Googled this Dr. DeBovey at Cornell, the respiratory things being overblown. Yeah, absolutely being overblown by the media.
Well, so I shared last week that I think from my research, the University of New Hampshire has identified this a year ago. So like this is not new, first of all, and it's not really spreading as fast as they want us to believe. So yes, like there have been some dogs that get very, very sick, but like the panic.
Yeah. Mycoplasma. That's what I'm seeing too, which will make, yeah. So I'm sorry for those who may be just listening to us, Dr. Kosher is saying, this respiratory illness is being overblown by the media. Absolutely agree. And she also says it appears this disease is being caused by a mycoplasma, which will make a vaccine very difficult. Again, yes, that's also what I've been looking at. It just doesn't make sense but of course that's what the media is saying. You know, vaccinate your dog. And it's like, why?
Well,
where is our critical thinking?
If they don't have other advice, I feel like they just, that's like kind of like the safe advice. Like, don't go to the dog park, you know.
But is it the safe advice? They just don't know. It's not the safe advice.
Exactly. But it's, you know, it's again, we all know that what decisions we make personally for our pets, for our kids, for ourselves, like, you know, we're not always going to agree with the study, with the media, with the this. You have to do what works for you. And you have to be specifically for this virus, which is regional. you have to be common sense about it. Like, if I have not seen any confirmed cases in Texas, I'm not going to run to the vet and be like, my pet needs all the vaccines. Like, first of all, financially, that might not be feasible for some people. So, like, don't panic. It's not even in your area yet. So just, you know, make the changes you need to make based on your situation and don't panic. But the media, of course, is going to be like, this is terrible. Everybody. You know.
So I actually got to be on the news about this last week.
Really?
I did. It's my local news. And I did an interview about it. And they actually put on the news, I got to say that what we really need to be doing is focusing on our dog's gut health and getting them on a fresh food diet and onboarding probiotics. And they put that on the news, and I could not be happier that they actually put that on the news.
No, but that's so good, because again, I feel like from a journalistic perspective, we put out what the experts say, and sometimes you go to the wrong expert, right? You go to the expert that like just has like this like list of safe recommendations, and you're the expert that had these other recommendations. So like, I wish the media had a more well-rounded kind of roster of people to interview, because I think that that's really what it comes down to, right? Like, yeah, you're gonna share something that's different from another pet expert because of your experience, your background, whatever. And if they don't have you, they're going to fall back on the last guy who was there talking about vaccines and talking about, you know, this, that, and the other, and how it's pneumonia in 24 hours, which is not the case for the majority of pets mm-hmm. that are exposed, which is coming from Cornell and from New Hampshire, you know, University of New Hampshire. That's all of their researchers are saying, like, this is not as serious. Like, don't panic.
Yes, Dr. Kocher says proactive health needs to be emphasized. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Because from my understanding, even the handful of dogs that have died and they have attributed it to this respiratory illness, they had underlying conditions, is my understanding. So anyway, that was my one rant.
Congratulations on being in the news. Why did you tell me? Tell me so I could like celebrate this, because this is great news. I love to see you doing things. Yes. Next time I want to share it.
I put a reel up. I think I put it, maybe it's just a video on Instagram and not a reel, but yeah. So what was my second one? And it kind of ties in to this, like how this whole thing started and being critical thinkers, but also the second one was about like not engaging, which we kind of talked about earlier, not engaging and fueling people online who are just online to argue. I don't know what this is about. I don't know why people do. I kind of know why people do this, and honestly I feel really sad for a lot of these people. But this totally, you just described it earlier in the live stream, that people were literally, you stopped comments on your post, and this wasn't a business page, this was on your personal profile, and you stopped comments on it, and people are still coming in your DMs because they still want to argue with you.
Yeah, close comments on the first post. Put a second post up, close comments on that post, but like as I shared it. And I said, I don't have time to further discuss this, but this is the spirit with which this was shared, right? Like, this is why I shared this. And I stand by what I'm sharing. So like, don't come in fighting with me. But what's interesting, you should say that, because yesterday night, and I don't know if it was posted yesterday, but Danielle Lambert, who is a veterinarian coach, so like she has like, she helps veterinary practices grow, and she does marketing and coaching with them. She shared something about how in our industry, people just, they're like, I'm not quoting here, but what I took from it was that we're like rabid when somebody says something we don't agree with. And we're just like, it's like this mob mentality where like people just start like piranha-ing their way down through the comments. And it's really hard, because like, it's stressful for everybody involved. It's not beneficial for anybody, because at that point nobody's hearing each other's perspectives. And she shared, I think her name is Danielle Lambert, and she shared a wonderful post where it was like, enough is enough, like, you know, veterinarians need to support each other. And I don't think it's just veterinarians. I don't know what incited that post, but it's dog trainers. I mean, we hear about dog trainers fighting constantly.
Mm-hmm.
I will say pet sitters and dog walkers are way less intense from my experience, but there have been people I've had to block, like where I'm like, this person is in my group coming in, sharing things that are not accurate, giving bad business advice, and they're not hearing me say like enough is enough. So I had to block. But like, for the most part, dog trainers, like the you versus me is so intense.
Oh, Dr. Kosher, I do. She says, you have no idea how the trolls come out, gotten threats, told I was dangerous, should die. Dr. Kosher, I have had people tell me that the exact same, not only that I should die, that my pets should die. Have killed dogs, was only out for money. Yes, no, I completely understand that, like, I believe you wholeheartedly, because people are, and I actually think, I just think that they have nothing worthwhile, and I'm not saying this in a mean way. I'm actually saying it because I feel bad.
Right.
That people don't have anything like worthwhile in their lives going on that they spend their time arguing online. And so I have a veterinarian that I follow who is on the path, I think, of becoming integrative, because he does have acupuncture onboarded in his clinic. So maybe, I don't know, maybe he'll go the distance, who knows? But anyway, he posted about something, he does a lot of reels, and he posted a reel about how unhealthy Frenchies are. Like, they just are. Mm-hmm. And I commented on it that just because something is common doesn't mean it's normal. And I that's not my thought, really. I mean, I've heard other people say this, and actually we talk about this all the time with cats and hairballs. Right. That's like the number one thing I feel like we talk about this with. Just because it's common doesn't mean it's normal. Cats should not be having hairballs. And with Frenchies, like, if you can just go to Google and look at what a Frenchie looked like 100 years ago and what they look like today, and you can see these bad breeding practices have led to a poor quality of life in these dogs. And I explained that I love these dogs. They're amazing. They have incredible personalities, right? But their quality of life isn't great. And just because that's how they are today doesn't mean that that's normal, a normal way for a dog to live. It right. isn't, in my opinion, at all. And let me tell, so many people have just like, you don't understand what the definition of common, and literally like, you should go to Webster's Dictionary. You need to read more. I'm like, first of all, who the heck are you? And that's like light stuff, because what Dr. Kosher is talking about, there are people out here who will find, like Dr. Kosher, a holistic veterinarian or an integrative veterinarian, and tell them that they're literally out here giving information to people that's going to kill their pets, and therefore they should die because of it. Like, I have seen that. It's real, and it's not okay. It is not okay.
I have a follow-up question. Do you find that these people are in the pet industry, vet techs, veterinarians, or are these just people with too much time on their hands?
I think there are I have seen one veterinarian who I think is utilizing comments like this on holistic posts to grow her fan base.
That is definitely a strategy.
Mm-hmm. And I have seen a lot of people that say they are vet techs, they are students in veterinary school, that identify themselves in this way. And I see these in clusters. Like, I wonder if it's part of a curriculum somewhere to go troll, the healthy pet space. But anyway, especially when it comes to food. But Dr. Kosher says it's not just Frenchies. No, you're absolutely right. Many breeds have suffered from popularity and irresponsible feeding. Skept that. Ooh, I bet that. So that's one that probably is out there saying all the negative things about our favorite holistic veterinarian.
Well, I don't know who Jennifer was talking about, but she's specifically referencing the veterinary community and something that happened. I'm not trying to gossip, but like that's, I was like, ooh. And I did comment being like, I've never seen anything like the mob mentality that happens. It happened on my post last week, right? Like where it was like one friend was like encouraging the other and then like, they don't even know each other, but now they're on the same side and that side is against my side. And now it's like, we're gonna take her down for this post that she shared, you know, like, because I felt like it on my personal page, right? Like
yeah.
Crazy.
But I think as far as like just pet, whether it's pet owners or just an average person not involved in the pet industry that's making a lot of these comments, they do. They absolutely do. And I think that you're always going to have trolls. And so yeah. Some of them are just trolling. Some of them are just arguing for the sake of arguing. Like this is the only maybe social interaction they get. I don't know, but I can see that happening. And it's like, you know, when we're talking about dog training, any attention is attention, whether it's good or bad, right? Like
on social media, you're trending, like that doesn't matter why you're trending, but you're trending.
Yeah. Right. So yeah,
come out and look for, and then that's how they grow. Like you said, that's really a strategy on how to grow your audience. So I had a guest on my show whom I won't name, but he was telling me like, you need to go on other people's and like inside, and like, I'm, that's not my platform. Like I literally do like positive all day long. Positive. I like to share stories about people. I like to share like products that I love. I'm not a veterinarian. I'm not sharing health advice. I'm not doing any of that. Right. So like, that's not my, but he did, he would go into competitors, right? Like online social media accounts that were basically giving advice that was contrary to his and blowing up their posts. And that's how he told me, that's how I grew my following as quickly as I did. And I'm like, congratulations. Cause for him, I actually feel like it works cause it's more financial. Mm-hmm. So maybe, you know, like, yeah, everybody has different financial like ideals, right? When it comes to investing or whatever. So for him, nobody was getting hurt necessarily. They were getting two perspectives for that same, that $1, you can invest it here or there, right? And you get to make the choice. But when it comes to pet parenting, I feel like people, I always believe that people are, and veterinarians and vet techs and influencers and, you know, anybody, groomers, dog walkers, dog trainers, we're all doing the best we can with the information that we have. And you can ask anybody in the industry that what they did 10 years ago is different than what they're doing now because of all they've learned, right? So like to go and attack people and to like put them down, and it's kind of a risk because now 10 years later your comment is still there, and now maybe you're like a positive based trainer because of all you've learned in that time, and now you've put yourself
hopefully
out there, but it's always there. So when, before you start going and fighting people, know that your, that growth you're gonna have, inevitable professional growth, it's going to be done in a very public arena where people are going to be like, oh, aren't you the vet that called me like a baby killer or a cat killer or whatever? Aren't you that guy who came over here telling me that probiotics don't matter or gut health is a fallacy? Like, oh, look at you promoting this product.
Yeah. Yeah. But in the case, what I was talking about with this particular post just happened to be specifically about Frenchies. I can't imagine anyone in their right mind critically thinking that you're going to argue for a poor quality of life and poor breeding practices in an animal just because you want to be right, I guess. I don't know.
They are a Frenchie.
A breeder. Yeah.
That's the only thing I can think of. Or like right. They're really one, or they really just have like drank the Kool-Aid about that breed and like all the breeds. Somebody's believing what they're selling. They're picking up what they're putting down, right? Like not all of us, but a lot of people, that's why the breeds continue. That's why people keep buying them, because they'll hear from somebody like you and Dr. Kosher saying, like, this is not a good option. This is not healthy. But somebody else will tell them, it's fine. Like, and they'll give them a good explanation or a good enough explanation, and they'll do what ultimately they wanted, which is to buy a Frenchie from a breeder that they'll later say, oh, I'll never buy that breed again. It was so sad.
And they're wonderful. I mean, they're such incredible dogs. They're so sweet and they have so much personality. Like, I get it. I couldn't do it though, just because I know, like, I wouldn't want to support a breeder who's breeding poor yeah. quality of life in a dog.
But that's me. Has a sales pitch down yeah. to a T, and that breeder will make you leave thinking you got the best Frenchie, the exception to all the rules.
Right. Yes. And that's not to say, and I actually do think there are some breeders out there specifically with Frenchies that are trying to undo some of this. And so I anybody listening to this, I'm not across the board saying all Frenchie breeders are bad.
One of us is anti-ethical. I will always rescue, because I don't work my dogs. I don't need yeah. a certain way. I just want them to like walk with me and live with me and travel with me and like whatever. So I always rescue, but like, I am not here being like all breeding is bad. Like, yeah. ethical breeding is always a good thing. We need ethical breeders. Like, I know many ethical breeders, so this is not an anti-breeding conversation.
No,
so
not at all. No, this is a please stop trolling and, like, I don't know, have something you love in your life conversation.
Really funny that you kind of feel bad for them.
Yes.
Like, they don't have some, that says who you are, because I'm just like, they're bored and they just, you know what I mean? Like, they don't have power in their life and they're coming to the internet to come look for some power or something. Like,
oh, for sure they are, but there's a reason, like, they have nothing. And I'm not saying, I don't know any of these people. I can't say for sure that this is the case, but I feel like psychologically, that's just where, like, if you have a beautiful, fulfilling life, you're not going and arguing with people on the internet all night long after you get off work. That's not what you're doing, right?
But I wish I had that kind of time.
Right.
Sorry, kids. You can go take your own bath after on an internet fight. Like, I wish I had that kind of time. Drowning in the bathtub, but I'm like,
yes.
fingers in. Like, seriously, like, what is your priority? Like, your family, your yeah. friends. And the great thing about the internet is the unfollow button. Like, let's just, if you don't like what I posted,
block,
move block. On, okay, and unfollow me. Like, yeah. or I'll do it to you. Like, there are people who share things mostly about their love for their spouses that I'm always like, oh my God, is this the only thing this person shares? You know, not all of us are going to like everything that everybody posts.
Okay, so Dr. Kosher says, there is a movement among many of the brachycephalic breeds to change some of the impaired airway traits. Ooh, even a certification scheme to grade the impairment to help preservation breeders make better decisions.
So hey. Scheme, I feel like you're not for this. Is that not something that you're for? Or is that something that, you know, you think would be beneficial? Because I know it's so hard to regulate anything in the pet industry.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter what you do, you're going to find people are going to find different ways to make money off of any and everything. And that's not necessarily always a bad thing. But there's always room for skepticism.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Healthy skepticism, yes.
Yes, healthy skepticism.
No.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Clarification. You know, clarify. Make sure you understood the post. Ask all the questions you want, but don't go in looking for a fight. And I feel like that's just how we are. It is the holiday season, so if you feel like something's, you know, for lack of a better word, trigger you, maybe just take a break from the social media for a while, you know?
Yes. I think we could all do for, like, we strive to take like travel vacations every year. How about we strive to take like social media vacations every year? I don't know if we can do it as like business owners, but like the average person who's just consuming content. I don't think we can take breaks from creating content, but we can certainly take breaks from consuming content.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's really something beneficial for everybody at some point during the holidays to just like be like, I'll share my photos of my wonderful family gathering 2 days from now. Like, I don't have to be like live streaming my, you know, my caroling around the neighborhood.
Oh, now I'm going to live stream it. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, everything is content. Everything is content.
Everything is content, right? All right. I think I'm being summoned to dinner, but
my dog before my children come in. And then after that, I'm going to schedule some like ranting on social media and picking fights. And I'm going to call people names. And then as soon as somebody calls me a troll, then I'll be done for the evening. What do you think?
Oh, well, you know, make sure to tag me if I can interject anything valuable.
Oh yeah, I did that too. Last week it was the same day. There was somebody talking nonsense about a food that I mentioned. Remember?
Yes, totally because it's a valid mistake. Like if you're not dealing if you're not dealing with pet food every day, converting from, you know, wet matter to dry matter is very confusing. Like, I know.
Obviously, you're like the one that gives people like the benefit of the doubt. And I'm like, it's on the bag. It's on the bag. It literally says on the bag, this way or this way, these are your protein levels. And I was like, and then at the end, it's like, oh, you can don't keep tagging people to like, you know, like, support you. I'm like, I don't need support. Like this, you're
like, I'm trying to help you out here. Like,
you should probably know what you're feeding. Like, that's all. I wasn't trying to start a fight again.
Yes.
You'll never see me go anywhere to start a fight. If I'm fighting on the internet, it's because somebody came to my page to be like, oh, that's not true. And I'll be like, oh, let's discuss. Okay. Now we know that there's a mistake here. This is the screenshot. All good now? No, still. And I'm like, come on.
Right. No. Well, and to balance things out, because I still don't know how many times we said green juju last week, but just to throw it in there to make sure we get it in there, let's just say green juju, because apparently that's what we talked about last week.
It's Ben's favorite thing in the world. So
I love it.
He's like,
he comes running.
He's like ready to go. You want to eat?
Hey, Jay, how are you?
Okay. Now we know it's you. And well, Jay, you're joining us right as we're shutting off
here. We are. We've been on here for an hour and 20 minutes, so we're going to go. I know.
Thank you.
Me too. Thank you.
Hello.
Yes. Hello, hello, lovely. I hope, by the way, Jay, I mean, seriously, if you and Adrian are considering going to Williamsburg in July for the More You Know Pet Health Summit, let me know because I will be there. So.
And Jay and Adrian, today is the launch of your cat food summit online.
What is it called?
Comment, let us know all about it here so that anybody who's watching this can read it and go learn from y'all and all the wonderful people that you are connected with. You're going to teach us all the things about why our kitties need better food and all the ways in which we can make that happen.
Get fresh with your feline. Yes.
Getting fresh with Van Gogh, and he didn't like it. He left, so.
He was like, I heard green juju, but I showed up and it wasn't here.
It's like 4:23. Like, what are you doing? Why are you not rehydrating something for me right now? Is what his question.
Yes.
All right, guys.
All right.
Thank you again for joining us. I hope this was helpful.
Yes, and thank you so much for all of your wonderful input, Dr. Kozier. It's always welcome and appreciated. Had a live on TikTok. BK Pets. Woo! I love Bryce and Kenzie. Ooh, and Rodney tonight. Well, we spent the last hour and a half talking about the drama Rodney stirred up last week. So.
Thanks a lot, Rodney.
Yes. I hope it goes beautifully, wonderfully. Everybody learns some wonderful things to help their cats. Go check out the two crazy cat ladies. They're going to be talking to Rodney tonight. And yeah, have a wonderful week, guys.
And if you want to do happy hour, I'll be doing happy hour on Wednesday on my Instagram at Covered in Pet Hair on Wednesday at 4 p.m. Mountain Standard Time is right after I record. And I'm recording with Sam Hutchinson this week.
Ooh, yay.
We're recording my Christmas episode. So I'll probably be having a very festive cocktail or two.
Ooh,
yes. So for happy hour on Instagram.
Oh, Jay, be sure to ask Rodney if he could have a lifetime supply of something. What would it be? That's Dr. Kosher's question. To just say Green Juju one more time, tomorrow's episode of the Pet Parenting Reset, all of your podcast platforms, Billy Hookman is going to be talking about HPP foods. So, yay! All right, guys, have a wonderful week. I hope your interview with Rodney goes fantabulous, Jay. And I know, right?
Three awesome people together. Are you kidding? I'm signing up. I'm going.
Yes. All right. Have a wonderful week, guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for having us over on Facebook and YouTube too.